Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. A former treatise have I, the old Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after this, after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which say he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come unto you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olive, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father God, for not only being born, for not only dying, for not only being buried, but for not only being resurrected, but ascending up into heaven. Father, we thank you this morning, Father God, as we teach on the ascension of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask, Father God, that you would just bless us as we hear from you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We talk about the ascension. I haven't preached it. The years I've been here, haven't preached it. Haven't heard many sermons on the ascension. I don't know. Anybody ever heard a lot of sermons on the ascension of Jesus Christ? Very, very rare that most people preach on the resurrection. They preach on the crucifixion. They preach on the cross, Calvary. What's so important about the ascension of Jesus Christ? Why was it so important that he ascended? And then somebody say, well, what's the word ascended? What's it mean? When you think about the word ascended, what do you mean? Things that go up, okay? Things that go up, that rise through the air. If this was, what's the game show? You name all, they put the little things down. Steve Harvey does it. I forget the name of it. Name Family Feud or something. Name five things that go up. How about that? You start thinking airplanes and rockets. Somebody say price of gas goes up all the time. Price of gas goes up. Eyebrows go up. Somebody's eyebrows might be going up now. Where's Pastor going with this sermon? You know, somebody say my weight always goes up. Amen. Okay. That's an interesting one, huh? Think about that. Things that go up. You think anybody would say, Jesus went up? Would that be in those answers? Mm-hmm. Jesus goes up. Jesus went up. People don't like to talk about the resurrection. You hear that about the resurrection season, Easter season. You don't hear people talk like they do around Christmas time. Okay? Easter's a whole different animal than Christmas. You hear people talk about Christmas and Thanksgiving. A lot of people, you know, a lot of parties, office parties. You know, how many of us worked at General Motors, General Electric, Packer? You don't have a whole lot of folks have Easter parties. Mm-hmm. I've yet to have one. You know, Halloween come around and Christmas and Thanksgiving and all parties. And people bringing in food all the time. People bringing in food. Did that happen, Claire, when you were working? Did people have Easter parties, resurrection parties at work? I don't remember ever one. Think about that. We're celebrating Easter. Almost now, and I'm talking years ago for some of us, but now you're not even almost allowed to talk about Easter.
Amen.
You can't hardly talk about Easter. Because if you acknowledge Easter, you're acknowledging Jesus Christ is alive.
Uh-huh.
He lives. He lives if you acknowledge him. I know where I work at, you know, folks bring in Easter baskets. They can bring in the jelly beans and different things like that. But you don't see a whole lot of folks acknowledging Easter. It's a whole different holiday. But what's so important about the ascension of Jesus? Think about that. It was talked about in the Old Testament. It was talked about in the New Testament. Let me give you an Old Testament scripture that you're probably familiar with. Psalms, I believe, 66. Here's what it says, the psalmist in Psalm 66. He says, "You ascended on high." Who's he talking about? People say, well, you know, you don't hear about Jesus in the Old Testament. He's talking about the Lord. He said, "You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there." Okay? In the Old Testament, who's the captives? Us. If you are saved, okay, you are a captive of Jesus. Okay, and him ascending, you're going to ascend with him if you're saved. If you know the Lord is your Savior, when you die, you're going up to be with the Lord. You hear it say it all the time. You're going up to be with the Lord. Okay? You hear it sing the song, "I'm going up to yonder to be with my Lord." Well, the only way you're going to get there is you're going to ascend. Okay? You're going to ascend. Because Jesus ascended. Listen in the New Testament when he's talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus in the New Testament about the ascension of Jesus Christ. And he's saying to Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you're not going to sin. That kind of rhyme. You're born again, you ascend. Okay? And one of the disciples, one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus came to meet Jesus. John 3. Let me turn there. I'm going to turn there. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. How about that? Nicodemus being ruler, victorious. This was a strong, powerful, powerful man. The most powerful man in Israel. He's coming to see Jesus win at night. Watch this now. He was a ruler of the Jews. And I can squeeze a lot out of that word ruler. You don't get to be a ruler by being weak, okay? Okay, he was a ruler of the most powerful Jews. He was a ruler in the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi," or "Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Okay, "that has descended from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How about that? Said to be born again. You know, and that's good to have in, you know, that's good to have in us. Okay? Because that's a good icebreaker. Because we know so many people, and they so many people believe in heaven that don't know the Lord. So many people believe they're going to heaven and don't know the Lord. And we sit here and say, I don't have the ability to go out and witness. I don't know how to witness. I'm too shy to witness. Nothing shy about that. Somebody talk about you talking about what you gonna do after this life is over. I'm going to heaven. Based on what? That's beautiful stuff. That's the language of love. We think love is just giving and mushy, mushy, mushy. Love is telling the truth. There ain't no love without truth. There ain't no love without truth. There ain't no love without truth. You can sit there and tell somebody you love them all you want. And if it's not true, scared of them. Watch this now. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Watch what Jesus says. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying? You got to be born again. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. I need to go somewhere. Got to get born again. My loved ones need to be born again. The wind bloweth where it listen, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can not tell where it cometh and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And I know I'm taking this too far. Okay? As I do this. I'm trying to get to verse 13. Let me keep reading. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, verse 11, we speak that we do know, and we testify we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. Okay? Jesus is talking here about all the miracles he did just to justify who he was, and they still didn't believe. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Here's the key verse 13. And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man that is in heaven. Now, in that verse, he's telling Nicodemus what he needs to have in order to go to heaven. And in Acts 1 and 8, he tells you what's needed to go to heaven. What are we talking about here? The Spirit of God. Okay? You need to be baptized in the Spirit of God. And I know we start talking about being baptized in the Spirit of God, and people weird out. Okay? Weird out. They think some weird thing is going to happen to you. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit really means that you are illuminated. You get an understanding. God gives you the ability to understand Scripture. Now, you going to understand it all? No, you ain't going to understand it all, but he's going to give you the ability to understand. He's going to regenerate you. How about that? Anybody? An old King James word, regenerate. He's going to make you something new. We talk about it all the time in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he basically saying he's been regenerated. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have what? Become new. Behold, all things have become new. He's going to refine you. Let me read Acts 1 and 8, because this is important. Probably one of the most important verses in Acts, because he's talking about, really, the book of Acts is really the acts of God. Okay? All that God did. Here it says in verse number 8, but you shall receive power. Now, this is when Jesus ascends. The reason he ascends, if he don't ascend, you don't receive no power. Okay? You shall receive power. Power. Wonderworking power, as we sing. Okay? After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. See, a lot of folks get weirded out because you got so many strange doctrines taught about receiving the Holy Spirit, and you're going to fall down, you're going to start spinning around circles, you're going to start speaking babble, 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 all that. No, that's not what he's talking about here. You're going to receive power to do some work, to serve God and to do ministry, okay? The fact that you may not be doing that or may not feel like you can do it or want to do it, maybe you haven't received what you need, okay? And that's not a problem. And please don't get me wrong. That's not a problem, because we have these needs. God gave us needs. So we can get down on our knees and say, you know, I hear the pastor talking about this power that I'm supposed to receive when I was born again, but I've been born again, I've been baptized, and I don't have no power. Give me the power. You know what? God ain't never turned nobody away. I don't think God's going to say, well, no, I ain't going to give you nothing. That's not the God we serve.
Amen.
You ask God to give you some power to deal with some stuff, he's going to give you some power to deal with. We may not know he's giving us that power because we're not going to step on it. We never going to get out of the boat, okay? We're going to sit in the boat. We got this power, and we got this big animal that we're facing, and we got the power. God is, we ask God for it. He's giving it to us, but we don't want to challenge it. If David had five stones, and what if he didn't ever throw? He never would have thrown them. He had to have the confidence to throw them. He wouldn't have ever known that they was anointed by God if he didn't throw them. But after you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, what's he saying? When you get this power, you're going to witness that I have been with you, that I dwell in you. That's what believers are, okay? We are witnesses of something God magnificently had done in our lives. That's all we are as believers. We witness. We think witnessing all the time means got to be out there talking, handing out tracts, knocking on people's door. Ain't nobody doing that, okay? Going around knocking on people's doors and telling them I'm with Jesus. That gets you in trouble. Everybody can't do that, okay? They think you Jehovah's Witnesses or something. And none of us even want to hear. You see the Jehovah's Witnesses come, we don't want to open the door for them. And unsaved people feel the same way about Christians they do about Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? Uh-huh. Don't nobody want nobody sitting in the house smoking joints and drinking, want a person with a Bible come knock on their door. Amen. And we have so many opportunities. All we got to do is say, God, give me an opportunity to witness today. You think he ain't going to give you one? He'll give you five. Some of us already have opportunities to witness by the way we behaved this morning. The way we behaved this morning, we witnessed to somebody about Jesus. Look at Acts 8 again, 1 and 8. Because this is important. This is what you receive when Jesus ascends. And if you don't ascend, you don't get this. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be. Not you might be. You shall be. Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. You know what he's talking about? Is you gonna witness over? You gonna first witness is where you are, where you live. Okay? Your greatest witness is gonna be in your home, in your community. That's what he's saying to these Jews. He said, you know, you ain't gotta go to Macedonia, you ain't gotta go to all over the world. Start in Jerusalem. Start in Jerusalem, okay? And your Jerusalem may be the south side. Your Jerusalem may be the east side, the west side. It may be Austintown, Boardman. Start there. Okay? Start there. Listen. Let's talk about what happens when Jesus comes into our lives and we receive this power. Look at Ephesians. This is a fascinating scriptures, and I know we covered Ephesians pretty good, but look at Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Here, pages turning. We live in a day and age now, folks, just flip on with the tablets and stuff. Preachers in the pulpit with tablets and everything, and I'm up here flipping pages. Yeah, somebody gonna say, Pastor, you need to get with it, you know? Nobody carry no Bible no more. We just sit on our cell phones and read the Bible on the phone. I don't want to get there. Okay. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And we talk about, and I know I preach in a way, hopefully it makes you ask questions about what's it mean to have the Spirit of God in us? What's it mean to have the Spirit of God in us? I think that's important. Because I think people say, I got the Spirit of God in me. And they think it's just crazy stuff I hear. Okay. But when you have the Spirit of God in you, certain things are going to happen. Paul says this to the Ephesian church. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. Okay? Paul said, I heard of your faith. I understood you had the right stuff. These people had the right spirit in them. And for Paul to say, when I heard of your faith, is obviously he's awfully saying, you know, there's some bad faith out there too. Okay, and when I heard of yours, I heard you had the right stuff. Okay, you heard the right Jesus, and you heard the word of God was preaching you correctly, and you understood correctly. And now Paul's saying, praying for you. I'm praying for you. Why? because he knew they were going to come up against it. Paul says in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why is that so necessary? If they had the right stuff and the right God and the right Jesus and the right Holy Spirit, why is Paul saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers? Because they're going to be challenged. Amen. Satan going to get after you. Amen. Okay? See, some of us think we can come to church and serve God and praise God and worship God and everything just going to be smooth sailing. Satan going to get after you. We talked about that this morning. This Peter had the right stuff and God knew it. And Peter was getting stronger and stronger, and God had to stop him and say, Peter, you got the right stuff on this rock. I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But Satan wants you. Satan desires to what? Sift you like wheat. And listen, he has a whole lot more tools in 2018 to sift a brother or a sister in Christ than he did when Peter was walking this earth.
Amen.
Okay? Think about that. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How about that? He praying that you get it and get more of it. Get more revelation. Get more knowledge. Get more wisdom. We talk about wisdom all the time. We know Solomon. Solomon went to God and Solomon, God said, ask me anything you want. And Solomon said, I need wisdom. Amen. And if I was just a show of hand, how many here need more wisdom? Every hand must go up. Amen. We need wisdom. And Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you, that God may give you the spirit of wisdom. Look at verse 18. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is all cross-reference of verse number 8 of Acts 1. Okay? When the Spirit of God come upon you, your eyes, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Enlightened meaning what? Look at the Word of God. I see things I didn't see. How many in here now, as Christians, look at life, you look at this world a whole different way. Your worldview is totally different. You see God in everything. I think about my daughter and before she had her baby, when she would read crazy stuff that's happening to kids, it didn't affect her like it does now. Uh-huh. It affects you a whole lot different now. You got a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old boy, and you hear about a 10-year-old boy somewhere, something crazy happening to him. Uh-huh. And you think differently about life. Same thing when your eyes of your understanding being open. Okay? And you see this world doing what it do, and you look at scriptures like this and you try to make some sense out of what's going on in this world. He says, Paul says, I'll give you some sense. God gonna give you some sense. Your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. See, people ask, you think you know everything. Well, ask me something crazy, I'm gonna give you an answer. Well, what's gonna be the faith of the Democratic Party, or what's the faith of the Republican Party? It's gonna come to nothing. Okay? It's gonna come to nothing. Don't matter. Because neither one of them serving God.
Amen.
It's all about God to me. It's all about God. What's gonna come of this? What's gonna come of that? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's gonna come of it. Nothing's gonna come of it. And we work so hard for nothing. We work so hard for nothing. And God is asking us, serve me. And he giving us the spirit to do it, the power to do it. Mike went out. How about that? But that's okay. How about that? Satan. So Paul continues. I'm going to go to verse 20. He says, and what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who? Anybody with me? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who? Believe. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Here's our verse. Raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You know what? Let me tell you something. God didn't just raise Jesus. Okay? Raising him was wonderful. But there, you know, we missed this whole ascension thing. Okay? He raised him and he set him where? At his right hand. What's so important about that? What's so important about him sitting at his right hand? Because the word of God says he's sitting at his right hand doing what? Making intercessions for those that were held captive. That'd be us. And if he don't rise and sit at his right hand, we can't go to him. We can't go to him. Listen. Listen. I know I give you this verse all the time, but it's one that rests on my heart. We have a advocate named Jesus. Okay? And his Father is God. How about that? How about that? We have someone in heaven sitting at the right hand of God making intercessions for us. And his Father is the one he's making his intercessions for. Let me read the scripture. I kind of botched it. But this with the Father means Jesus sitting at his right hand. He says in 1 John 2 and 1, he says, my little children, we talked about that word this morning. My little children, and little children depend on God. Little children depend on their parents to nurture them and to feed them and to educate them and keep them safe and secure. That's what God calls us little children. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Okay? 1 John 2:1. That you sin not. And if any man sin, and we will, okay? None of us got it all together. I hope folks don't miss church because, well, I had a sinful week. Or I had a sinful month. Because listen, if that was the case, you wouldn't have preacher up here half the Sundays. Amen. Okay? If it was come down to, well, the pastor must have had a sinless week, he preaching. And you listen, I'll be here once in a while. Okay? I have rough weeks. Difficult weeks. But this we includes me. We have an advocate with the Father. That's key. Mm-hmm. Your advocate has to be with the Father. Okay? Mm-hmm. Sitting at his right hand. Okay? We have an advocate, a lawyer, a mediator with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. How about that? Okay? Not attorney so-and-so the righteous. Okay? Not attorney Johnny Cochran the righteous or attorney Effie Bailey the righteous. But our advocate name is Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Amen. Okay? Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world, the righteous one, the only man that ever walked this earth and never committed a sin. Amen. Never. Amen. Never. Jesus Christ, the righteous. What is he? And he is the propitiation for our sins. Amen. That means he died for them. He covered our sins with his blood. Past, present, future. Amen. All our sins are covered. Okay? And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. How about it? He died for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for the whole world. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Mm-hmm. He died for the whole world. Now, whether the whole world will accept him or not, that's not for me. Okay? That's up to them. Our job is to deliver. Our job is to witness and tell them about what Jesus came to do. Whether they accept or not, that's on them. Amen. God's not going to beat nobody into submission to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, the Lord and Savior. Amen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we see that we have this advocate with the Father. But let's look at another thing that happened when Jesus ascended. If Jesus ascended, it gave us power to go to God. Remember when the Jesus was crucified, the word of God says the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Okay, that's symbolic of the fact that we don't have to stand behind nobody's door and tell another man our sins, or we don't have to go to the Holy of Holies and hopefully this sinful person is going in there to talk to Jesus on our behalf. We can go to him ourselves. That's right. No more killing animals. And how about that? I'm coming to work today. I'm not work, but I'm coming to church this morning. I see dead cats on the road and dead raccoons and all that. Think about that. You know, when you think about the tabernacle of old, this is here, and God talked about this just yesterday. There were no chairs. There was no chairs in the tabernacle. Okay? Why? Because the blood never stopped running. I mean, people were bringing animals constantly to the tabernacle to be sacrificed. Constantly. The blood never stopped running. The wood never stopped, they were cutting wood all the time and offering sacrifices. And Jesus came and did away with it all. How about that? Yeah. You're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry? Think about that. We talking about Amazon now. Amazon, taking over. Amazon taking over. Let me tell you something. Amazon wasn't bigger than the temple sacrifices. I mean, folks was bringing in animals constantly. I mean, look at Hebrews 4. No. Uh-oh. Hebrews 1. I'm all over the place now. I might have to go to Hebrews 4. But look at Hebrews 1. We'll take it in order. Look at Hebrews 1, talking about this access we have now that Jesus Christ has ascended. Because he ascended, the importance of the ascension. Okay? Hebrews 1 and 3. And I might have to start at verse number 1. It says, God, who has sundried times and in divers manners, spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, having these last days. When did the last days start? When Jesus died on the cross, okay? In these last days, spoken to us by his Son, by the word of God, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. Okay? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay? When he had by himself, that's key. When he by himself purged our sins. When he purged our sins, what's he mean? When he died for our sins, when he covered our sins with his blood, that precious blood that Peter calls it in the book of Peter, the precious blood, he purged our sins, he covered our sins with his blood. He covered our sins. Watch this now. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's incredible. Okay? Before he could sit down, he had to rise. And then before he could sit down, he had to not only rise, he had to rise from the dead, but then he had to ascend into heaven. And he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I think I want to show you verse 4 and 14. In the same book of Hebrews. No, I'm giving a lot of scripture today, but it's hard to explain an ascension without the word of God. You have to use the word of God to do it. Look at verse number 14. I'm sorry. 1 and 13. 1 and 13. Going back to 1 and 13. Hmm. I think I'm off. I think I'm 8:14. I think I'm in chapter 4. Y'all bear with me. Be patient. Be patient with me. Okay, I mean 4 and 13. I'm there. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews talk about the Lord. We know he's talking about Jesus Christ, and we talk about his work on this earth. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. I had a lady, Catholic lady, come out to the prison, and she brought all these crosses for the boys. Not allowed to do it. They're not allowed to have any type of religious expression, but she got them in, and I'm watching the kids walk around, and she said, they were all blessed by the priest, you know. And I said, you can't bring this stuff in. Well, they're all blessed by the priest. Well, okay. They'll all be in the contraband vault tomorrow. But we don't have that kind of priest. The Bible says we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, when you say passed into the heavens, anybody have an idea what he's talking about? Remember in the Jewish tradition, you got the three heavens, okay? You have the one heaven where the birds fly, and the second heaven is where the stars and the clouds are. And the third heaven is the heavenly places where God sits, or the kingdom of God is at. And it's our great high priest passed into the heavens. The first heaven and the second heaven. And he's in the third heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. What's he mean? Let us hold fast to what we believe. Okay? Let us hold fast what we believe, because what we believe is based on the fact that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, he died on Calvary's cross. He was buried and he stayed in the ground for 3 days, and he rose from the grave and he ascended into heaven. Okay? Amen. He ascended into heaven. Okay? You have to believe all that. All that comprises what a Christian believes. Not just, well, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. That's not enough. Okay? Because if the Jesus Christ that died for your sin don't rise, then you still, what Paul would say, most miserable. Most miserable. Okay? So we have to take a grasp of this ascension, this teaching on the ascension. And let's keep going just a little bit. In verse 15, he says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. How about that? Ain't that beautiful? We have a high priest that we can touch. We can touch. Hopefully we touched him this morning while we were praying. Hopefully when you guys are praying this afternoon or this evening or in the morning, your God will hear you. He will hear you. Yes. Yes. That he will hear you. Amen. But we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sins. Now, here's the key to the whole verse. When I talk about what are some of the benefits of Jesus' ascension, because if he don't ascend, we don't have this great mediator in heaven making intercessions on our behalf. Listen at verse 16 and listen closely. Let us who believe all that I've just said, let us therefore come boldly. How about that? Come boldly unto the throne of grace. How about that? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, folks. We have infirmities. That word is in verse number 15. He understands our infirmities, okay? Our shortcomings. He understands that fiber stuff that Claire talks about. He understands we got other issues. We got issues with children and spouses and jobs and finances. All those come under infirmities. We got all kind of stuff that Satan has designed to wear us out. Okay? and to wear us out, make us miserable. You know, and is there anything worse than a miserable Christian? Could there be anything worse than someone saying, well, I love Jesus and I love the Lord and I'm going to church and just cranky and cantankerous and mean and nasty all the time? That's how Satan wants us to be. Okay? All the time. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Grace means favor. Let us come boldly and get this favor that God has for us. Okay? And the only reason we can come boldly because we are confident that he is who he is. That's where our boldness lies, in the fact that we know who he is. Amen. We believe that he died and he was buried and he rose on the third day and he's ascended into heaven. And because we believe that and all that, we can go come boldly into the throne of grace. Amen. How about that? Amen. And that we may obtain mercy. How about that? Anybody need some mercy? Anybody other than me need some mercy? Amen. Need some mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Give me mercy. And then find grace in the time of need. Boy, when is there not a time of need? When is there not a time of need? How about that, Mary? When is there not a time of need? Think about little Amani down in Atlanta. You think about our children we can't touch and we can't get our hands on when we're hearing them talking to us and we can't put our hands on them. We can't kiss them. Yeah, yeah. But we can go to the throne of grace. We can go to the throne of grace and our prayers and our asking God for grace and mercy. Oh, that'll get to Atlanta. Amen. Okay? That'll get to Atlanta. Listen. This is another important point. It may be my last one. I have so many. This may be the last one because I think this one is important based on what I just said. When Jesus was on this earth and before he ascended and he would tell Mary, he said, don't touch me because I have not yet ascended. And a lot of people are like, what do you mean? Why did he want Mary to touch her? That word touch in the Bible means grab hold of. Remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Touched the hem of a garment. She yanked on Jesus. Mary had a whole different faith than Thomas did. Thomas, Jesus said, touch me. It wasn't that he couldn't be touched. Thomas was about unbelief. Mary was getting ready to pray and reverence and fall prostrate to Jesus. She was going to delay Jesus. She didn't want Jesus to leave. She didn't want Jesus to leave. And Jesus said, I have to leave. If I don't leave, you don't get all these benefits. Amen. Okay? So Mary was trying to hold Jesus from going back to heaven. That's because she had that kind of love for her. And we would do the same thing with our loved ones if we could hold them here. We would hold on to them. We wouldn't let them go back. Well, I'm going to heaven, even though we know heaven is a wonderful place. But if we could, we would just hold on to them. And we won't let them get their glorified body. And we won't let them enjoy the things of heaven. And we'll keep them down here. Reading CNN and news and hearing about the Trump Tower on fire and a busload of hockey players getting killed and folks dying in airplanes and getting murdered every day. Yes. We wouldn't let them go. We wouldn't let them go. I think about this because when Jesus was here, he when he was in the flesh, he couldn't be everywhere at all times. He had to go to heaven to become our mediator. I remember my mother and father and they got divorced when we were young and Cindy and I, we had some big problems because, you know, we got to go over Christmas Day, we want to be with my mother. And then couldn't stay there long because we had this, and many of us faced this. Now I got to go be with my father because he wanted to see us on Christmas and mother wanted to see us on Christmas. Thanksgiving was a bigger problem for my mother. She loved Thanksgiving. But Jesus was the same way. And before he went to heaven, he could only be in one place. He couldn't be teaching in Jerusalem and Judea and Macedonia and all these places. He was always in one place and all the crowds came to him. But when he went to heaven. Amen. He went to heaven. When he went to heaven, the word of God said he can be all places. He became what? Omniscient or omnipresent. How about that? He became omnipresent. He could be everywhere. At the same time, everywhere, at the same time. And that's one of the greatest blessings of the fact that he went to heaven. Now he's in heaven making intercessions for us. I thought I had a great scripture for that. But John 16:7. I'm gonna turn there. I wanna pull Mary into this. I think this is the one that Mary's in, possibly. John 16. No, this is not the one, but it talks about another benefit that we have when Jesus went to heaven, when Jesus was ascended, in John 16:7. And again, they were trying to keep Jesus here. And Jesus said this. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away," how about that? "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Why is that so important? Because we can't get to heaven without the Comforter. We can't get to heaven without the Holy Spirit being with us. Okay? And folks, I'm going to get to heaven my own way. No, you're not. You're not getting to heaven without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay? And you can't go to hell with the Holy Spirit in you, because the Holy Spirit's not going to hell.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So you can't get to heaven without the Holy Spirit. Wait, now that just behooves me. I need the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin, because they believe not in me, and of righteousness because I go to the Father, and ye see me no more.
Amen.
See me no more. I wanted to talk about Mary, but maybe I won't. I won't get to Mary. Maybe I will. I want to talk to Mary. I ain't gonna get it. Well, let me give you that one last point. And I know this is a little teachy. But when did the ascension happen? Anybody know when it happened? See, we don't be taught on ascension much. The ascension happened, that big word. What's the big number in the Bible? 40. 40. You know, great things happen in 40 days. 40 days. You know, how many in here, you don't have to say it, can think of some great things that happened in the Bible in 40 days? First thing you think of, 40 days in the wilderness. That comes to mind. 40 days in the wilderness. Okay? 40 days of rain. 40 days and 40 nights. The prophet Jonah. The prophet Jonah went to Nineveh and preached repentance. He said, he gave him how many days? 40 days. Okay? Let me see if I can pull another good one out of here. Moses. How long was Moses in the mountain receiving the law? 40 days. 40 days. How about this one? I didn't know this one. King Saul, King David, and King Solomon all reigned as king of Israel for 40 years. I didn't know that. 40 years. Okay? 40 stripes was the maximum that you could get. So when Jesus ascended 40 days after the resurrection, and he gave us all these benefits that came with it. Now, I was talking to Margaret, and she mentioned this psalm, and I didn't comment on it because I knew I had it in my sermon. But she mentioned Psalm 103, and I'm going to close with Psalm 103 because without him ascending, we don't have all these benefits. Okay, and I know many of us are familiar with Psalms 103, and it's a psalm of David. And David was a benefactor of so many of God's blessings, because David was so bad. David was so bad, like most of us. But God still said David was a man after my own heart. Why? Because David loved the Lord. And then in his badness, David always took his issues to the Lord. He didn't take his stuff to man. You know, when he had problems with his family and problems with Bathsheba and all that, and when Nathan confronted David went to the Lord. David went to the Lord and confessed his sin. And we have no record of David ever committing that type of sin again. And David was a man after God's own heart. David wrote this psalm in Psalms 103 and 1. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I hope none of you guys forget his benefits. Who forgiveth, here's the biggest one, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. How about that? Not just some of them. See, the world forgets some stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay? The world, you know, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, they may forget some. But here's what he said about the Lord. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What's so important about him forgiving all our iniquities? You know what's so important about that? You can't get to heaven with one.
Amen.
You can't get to heaven. You can't go to heaven with one sin uncovered. So if you think you're going to sit there, I'm never going to forget this. You ain't going to get to heaven with that in your back pocket. Okay?
Amen.
Okay? He forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Watch this down. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Let me stop there again. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Folks, let me tell you something. If you hear it today and you saved, before you were saved, I don't care how nice you was, I don't care how nice you are at work, and you could be employee of the month, employee of the year, and everybody can like you and all that. But if you was unsaved, you was headed for destruction. See, some folks think they just so good they ain't won't go to heaven because they good. Okay? But the word of God said they're none righteous. No, not one. And when David says this, I believe he knows what he's talking about. Okay? He said, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Okay? Everybody that don't know the Lord head for destruction. Boy, that's a great witness in two. Psalms 103. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, he redeemed my life from destruction. Okay? Do I still got issues? Sure do. But guess what? I got a mediator with the Father to take him to. Didn't have that before. See, I didn't have that before. The unsaved person don't have a mediator, okay, sitting with God. The unsaved person's got to handle everything on their own and with their own strength. And we don't have to do that. We have a mediator. And there's only one. There's only one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, amen, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that the youth is renewed like eagles. Eagles. Listen, folks, and I know teaching, and sometimes God put on my heart, he said, talk about the ascension. I never talked about the ascension before. And I looked at the resurrection, and the resurrection was so profound. Then the word of God said, well, there's the ascension part. You ever going to talk to your people about the importance of him ascending? It's important that we receive the Holy Spirit. When he ascended, he left us the Comforter. He left us the Spirit of God. He didn't leave us alone. If you feel alone, ask God to give you strength. You feel defeated, ask God to give you strength. You feel troubled, ask God to give you strength. Down and out. Feel like our light afflictions are taking its toll on us. Ask God for strength. Ask God for strength. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God and